You, Ming, are a medical student in Hong Kong with an excellent academic record. You spend long hours studying here in your bedroom, but you also like to get out. You like the right sports, excelling at soccer. You're into the right music and hang out at the right bars. Your friends think you are cool. It matters to you that they do. It matters that you are liked. It also matters that you succeed at university because there is pressure from your family to get good grades. Home is not an altogether easy place to live. Your parents have worked throughout their years to give the family a good life. Their greatest dream is to move to Australia. To qualify for a residential visa, though, they need a good deal of money in the bank. So it is very important that you do well at university. Your father and mother sacrificed to put you in an expensive, well-respected school that would give you a strong educational foundation. They worked long hours to pay for your school bills. Guma, your father's sister, helped for years as well. Until her recent death through cancer, she took care of you when your parents were at work. When she died, she left a surprisingly large amount of money to you, which she had inherited from her husband on his death. She wanted you to use it to achieve your life's ambition. You were very special to Guma. She shared your parents' dream that one day you would graduate in medicine. The family has always hoped that in time you would pursue a medical career worthy of respect. Their longing was to see you achieve a good name and earn the money needed to care for them in their old age. You yourself want all of this too, but the pressure to succeed wears heavily at times on you. You were very pleased then when you learned that you have done brilliantly in your first year at university. You decide to go out that night to celebrate.
Please, pass through the door to section 2.
You and your friends begin the evening with pizza and a few beers. Later, though, they move on to a karaoke bar and harder drinks. Someone winks at you and slips an ecstasy pill into your hand. Give it a try, Ming. It can't hurt just this once. A pleasant haze comes over you, and thoughts of university fade to a comfortable distance. You are invincible tonight. Nothing can touch you. Nonetheless, you think twice when the group discusses taking the evening a step further by finding women available for a few hours' entertainment. You've seen prostitutes on the street before, but have never been with any woman, and you are not sure you want to start this way. Your stomach turns over as you think about it. You see a question mark in your friend's expression, though, and you squirm with embarrassment. The last thing you want is to lose face in front of them, to give up your hard-earned place of popularity among the crowd. You agree to go. This begins a new pattern in your life. Every now and again, you and your friends lay down your studies, pick up girls on the street, and fuel your evening with alcohol, ecstasy, or just occasionally, harder drugs for which you share a needle with the others. You come to both love and hate these evenings. You love the escape they bring, the high of the drugs and the beauty of the women. You love the fact that your friends are impressed. Yet you hate the fact that you are using Guma's money to pay for them. She did not leave you that money for this. You hate the dangers of this lifestyle too. You know they exist, but you convince yourself that you do not spend nights like this often. Besides, you are, after all, top of your class and still the most popular amongst your group. You continue to feel invincible.
Please, pass through the curtain to section 3.
2 years later, you meet Xiu Mei, another talented medical student who, like yourself, looks forward to a career of distinction. Everything about this girl appeals to you. She is lovely, though not in the same way as the girls on the streets. Where they are cheap and sultry, Siumei is elegant, a classic beauty with an inquiring mind and a quick intellect. The two of you love to take long walks together and chat for uninterrupted hours. You never run out of things to say to Siumei. She is as bright as you and genuinely wants to help people through medicine. She talks earnestly about specialized research she plans to help children with neurological dysfunction. She wants to give them and their families the greatest chance of a fulfilled life. This girl begins to feel your every waking thought. For the first time in your life, you know you are in love. As you spend more time with Siumei, you no longer go near the other women. Their attractions seem plastic compared to the real thing. Your family see how serious you are with each other, and they are delighted. Two bright students with good prospects ahead make the idea of marriage pleasing to all parties. You are increasingly sure you have met the girl you will spend the rest of your life with. Your love deepens. You begin spending nights as well as days together. You take more precautions, understanding better than ever now the risks you face otherwise. In the privacy of these quiet moments together, you both talk about your pasts and the other partners you have had. Siumei has spent several years studying in the UK, and she tells you, shyly, that she too went with the pressure of the crowd there. She has also tried drugs and has been with more male partners than she is proud of. You confessed your past life to her too, telling her you want to make a clean start and that from now on, if she will accept you, she will be the only woman in your life. The two of you plan for your marriage after graduation. You discuss the possibility of a joint medical practice, she with her special focus on children and you with adult care. You talk and walk for hours, mapping out your plans.
Please pass through the curtain to section 4.
But one morning, Siumei meets you at university with her face horribly pale. "We need to speak in private," she says, looking frightened. "Can we go to my room?" Clutching your hand, Siumei tells you she is pregnant. You stare at her, incredulous. Is she sure? After all, the two of you have always taken precautions. Yes, but clearly, at some point, they were not sufficient. You struggle to take in the news. If she is pregnant, does that mean you should marry now? Can you find a way to do that, to support her and the child, while yet seeing both of you through medical school? One picture after another crowds your mind as you desperately seek answers. Nowhere in your worst nightmare, though, could you imagine what you hear next. In her gentle way, Siumei places her cheek against yours and explains that she asked the doctor for a full set of blood tests when he was checking her condition. The truth is, she is not only expecting your child, but she is HIV positive. It is confirmed. Your mind whirls as you try to take in her words. Surely there must be some mistake. You think again of the precautions you took. If they did not keep her from becoming pregnant, have they also failed to prevent the transfer of the HIV virus? You stare at photographs she has displayed above her desk. You have both loved the events they captured, but they now seem like scenes from another lifetime. Your thoughts begin to torture you. Is it your fault this wonderful girl is HIV positive? Is this a legacy from her past, or, quite possibly, yours. You are more angry with yourself than you can bear. And what of your child? You know from your studies that babies can be born HIV positive. And even if not, you wonder, who will care for this child if he or she grows up without a mother? Or if you are also positive without any parents at all? The picture gets only worse the more you look at it. Your family will have to be told. So will hers. Everything they have worked towards for so many selfless, hope-filled years will fall apart in that instant. You continue to hold Sumé as close as you can, but never have you felt so powerless. There is absolutely nothing you can do. You cannot turn back the clock and make different choices. You cannot change reality. You cling to each other and cry. For now, there is one immediate, terrifying step you know to take. You have to find out whether you too have the HIV/AIDS virus.
Please, pass through the black curtain and turn left towards the clinic.
This clinic specializes in the HIV/AIDS virus. As you await your results here, many questions may be running through your mind. This clinic has specially prepared a brochure for its patients called While You Wait to answer these. Please help yourself to one. Take a seat and read as much of it as you would like. Please proceed to the results area and take your card from the box on the wall to learn whether the result is positive or negative. You have now completed the story lane of the person whose life you followed, and you now know whether he or she contracted HIV. Whatever the news you received, you may like time to reflect on that story. You might also like to learn more about HIV/AIDS. In these rooms, you can see how others live with HIV/AIDS. Discover the geographic spread of HIV/AIDS. Find out how you can help or be helped in regard to HIV/AIDS. Learn why HIV/AIDS spreads. Write about your own feelings on the subject. And, if you like, purchase items sold to generate support for people affected by HIV/AIDS. Take as long as you like in these rooms. We will play music as you look around. When you're ready to leave, please go to our receptionist and return your headset. Again, we thank you for taking part in this experience. It may not have been easy, and we deeply appreciate your willingness to identify with those who live daily with the reality of HIV/AIDS and its many complex causes and results.